Shalom and welcome back to the daily Tzikas Atzari Chabura. Today is episode 8 Os Ches. Now, what Rav Tzadok is going to be talking about in today's piece is really looking at the different times that the other prayers, such as Kriya Shema and the Amida, both during the evening and during the day, are allowed to be recited until. And Rav Tzadok, again, using the model we've had until now, is going to mine these to try to see what are the spiritual messages that are contained within. But in order to appreciate some of the things that Rav Tzadok is going to be just talking about, we need to begin with a story. And the story is about Rav Tzadok's lifelong friend, Rav Leib Lager, who also went from the Lithuanian Misnagdic world and transitioned into the Hasidic world, also through the realm of Kutsk, and went with Rav Tzadok to the Me'ah Shiloach of Mordechai Yosef Liner, and was a lifelong Hasid until the death of the Me'ah Shiloach and became a Rebbe in his own right. In fact, that was part of why Rav Tzadok felt like he didn't have to take on the mantle of being a leader, of being in an Admor, because his good friend, his really holy friend, Rav Leib Lager, was alive and was running the show, so to speak. And the story goes like this. Rav Leib Lager arrives in Kutsk, and again, he's fresh off from the Lithuanian world, and he arrives at the base medrash of Kutsk. And what does he do? Well, he does what he's been accustomed to do his whole life. He opens a Gemara and starts to learn. But as he's about to start learning, he notices that a chassid of the Kutsker enters into the base medrash, holding his tallis and tefillin, very clearly that he hasn't yet davened yet. So already, Leib Lager is a little bit taken aback, that it already seems to be a little bit later in the day than he's accustomed to seeing people daven, and he's like, okay, what's going on over here? So he sees the guy go to the window in the corner, takes out his tallis, puts it over, drapes it over his shoulder, and assuming he knows what's going to happen next, Leib Lager then puts his head into the Gemara to start learning. A couple of hours later, he's finished his learning for the morning, and he wants to go get some lunch, and he looks up, and this guy is still by the window in the same position, looking out with his tallis draped over his shoulder, seemingly having not done anything except for stare out the window in this whole time. So he says, okay, that's kind of odd and weird, but I'm going to get some lunch. So he goes to get some lunch. He comes back. He says, listen, I'm new here in Kutsk. I don't know what else to do. I'll do what I've done until now, which is I'm going to continue learning. So he goes back to learning, and now it's for another hour or two, and he picks his head up again. And he looks and he sees that this guy is still in the same position, in the corner, looking out the window, and has his tallis draped over his shoulder. Now he's getting a little bit curious of what exactly is going on with this guy. And so he continues to learn, but he's noticing that he's looking at the clock, and it's getting later and later, and soon one's not going to be able to put their tallis and tefillin on because the halachic day will have ended. It's getting very close to the end of mincha time. And so finally, he's very curious to see what is this guy going to do. And finally, a minute before Shkia, before the last time one could put on their tefillin and their tallis, the guy throws on his tefillin, his tallis, quickly davens Kriya Shema, maybe Shemona Esrei, and then he takes them off. And so our protagonist, Rav Leib Lager, he goes over to this fellow and says, hi, I'm Leib Lager, I'm new in town, I'm here to join the Hasidim of Kutsk. Can I ask you, what's going on? And so he says, well, the Kutzker says that if a person doesn't daven from a place of authentic Kabbalas Omach Hoshemayim, if they're not davening from a place of authenticity, that not because they davened yesterday, that they believed in God yesterday, but rather because of today, that every single day requires its own unique and authentic expression of religiosity. And if a person doesn't discover that, then to daven without having that is worse than worshiping idols. So, a bit inspired, but also perplexed, Rav Leib Lager says, so, did you discover that place? Did you reach that place of authenticity? Because he saw that the guy davened. And the guy looks at the floor and says, no. He says, but I don't understand. Your rabbi said, the Kutzker said, that to do so without praying from a place of authenticity is worse than idolatry. He said, but what can I do? There's an obligation. There's a chiyuv to daven. And it's this tension, both of seeking out a place of authentic Kabbalas Olmach Hoshemayim, and also working within the confines of the halachic system, is really what animates this entire school of Hasidus, starting with Peshitsa, breaking out into Kutsk, then into Ishbitz and Alexander and Ger, etc. And it's this idea, this anecdote, that really animates the rest of this piece, the rest of Rav Tzadok. So he says like this, Zman ha'achana hazu, hakol lefi mashehu adam. The time that it takes, that necessarily it takes for us to get to that place where we're able to authentically connect and to tap into divinity, it's all going to depend on each person. There's no uniform standard. And for example, he says, the Hasidim, as the Mishnah talks about, that they would go ahead and they would meditate. They'd be shohim for an hour before they would daven. Now, this whole thing is a subject of debate between various commentators how to interpret this line, because some, like the Talmidei Rabbi Yonah, say that, well, they had an hour, and we try to approximate that. But the way that Rav Tzadok is interpreting this is to flip it around, saying that because of their spiritual standing, because of how much they had cultivated themselves and worked on themselves and developed themselves, they only needed an hour. However, we need so much more time. In fact, in the footnotes, they point out that this nekuda, this idea, was really emphasized in the school of Pshischa, as we mentioned before, to the point where they would delay starting davening until they had spent hours, until they're able to get to a place of authenticity for the avoda of that day. And he says, it's within this spirit we can understand what Rav Tzadok is saying here. He says, he continues and says, he says, similarly, we can understand why it is that the Gemara, the Chazal, and the Mishnah, they say we can recite Kriya Shema at night, including Marv, until dawn of the next day. Why? Ki b'chasheichas leil kashum tzo b'hiras malchus. Now, because again, we're using these time periods, these modalities, as metaphors for different moments and different aspects of our avodas Hashem throughout the course of our lives, and even the course of one single day, then those dark moments where we don't have the clarity of purpose, of connection, of the values we want to live in concert with, then it can be very difficult, almost maybe even impossible, like in the case of the chassid that we opened with at the story, to be able to get to that place of authenticity, of connection. As Rav Tzadok says here, kulei hai v'ulai, maybe not. We're going to reach that. And that's why Chazal extended the time, the bounds of time we can have to try to pursue that type of connection and experience because of the challenges that it provides. But at the same time, that's where we find a very different standard when it comes to the morning, and morning being associated with clarity and connection. We see in the Pasuk in Tehillim that in the morning, it's very easy. It's easy to both think about, but also to express. And it's that verbal expression that's going to be very important to Rav Tzadok, that we can express to see and identify and talk about and reflect on the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. So in those moments of clarity, asaf shel hagid, miyad baboker mitoch or hanikar, and then in those moments we can immediately, instantaneously see the connection, feel the presence, and therefore rejoice and reflect upon that. Mashen kein balelos, when it comes to the night of our existence, those modalities of disconnection, of seeing, not seeing the presence of God, or not feeling the presence of God in our lives, rak ha'amuna balev, because the rest of the pasuk is, hagid baboker chastecha ve'munascha balelos. The essential religious posture of the nighttime is emunah. It is about the faith, a belief that can't be expressed. V'lo hagada. It's not about expressing Yeshua ha'hotzah mikoach ha'lapoel ala ha'avar. It's not about the ability then able to actualize and express in a tangible way to see the entire charting of our lives, entire course of our lives, as being one that's informed and affected by the chesed of Hashem. It takes emunah, that we go ahead and we say and we live as if, but not actually experiencing it as it is. But rather, what's the emuna all about? Ela hakivoy ala asid. It's about that hope of the future. Kasher asa haboker, when that morning comes, the morning here of Mashiach, with that messianic consciousness of the palpable awareness and presence of God in our lives. So then, gam b'chol halayla kula. That in that moment, when we have that illumination of that messianic consciousness, then we'll be able to see the entire arc of our lives, even those dark moments, as a moment and a reflection and an expression of God's chesed. It will then illuminate the darkness. And therefore, based on this, says Rav Tzadok, we can understand another idea when it comes to tefillah. V'lakach tefillas arvis reshus. That's why, initially, when it was mandated, that the tefillah at night of arvis was only optional. Ki tefillahu hakaras hanochach, yosu mikriyashma, ki moshakasav le'el osvav. Like we said before, what's tefillah? Tefillah is the Shmona Esrei, it's the Amida. And as we said before in the sixth os, in episode six, that's about a very profound religious experiential encounter with God. It's that sense of feeling the presence of God actually in our lives. V'yesha l'chayev b'layla. And as we said before, that Laila, the darkness of where it's very difficult and challenging, almost maybe even impossible to feel that type of connection and presence, then we can't obligate you to try to have that experience if we're saying that it's almost impossible. As the Pasuk says, Dizesh mi le'olam. The pasuk in Shmos, Gimel Tasvav, that this is my name, says God, forever. However, the way that it's written in our Torah scrolls is that it's missing a vav. In its comments, the Gemara says, Rashi, on that Gemara, that no, don't read it as le'olam, forever, rather le'alem, that it's hidden. Ksiv ba'olam hazeh shedoma le'layla. That there is a sense of hiddenness that defines our relationship with God in this world in a post-Beis HaMikdash reality. And therefore, because of that, it can only be a reshus, it can only be optional. As Rav Tzadok says, Rak reshus lemi shechanenu Hashem lios laila ki yom ya'ir lo. That can only be optional for someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the grace to provide that person to pierce the darkness with the illuminating light of His presence. However, here comes the hope now. This is the hope that animates Rav Tzadok in so many of his works. Raka Idna, now we stand post the time of the Baal Shem Tov and the illumination and the Giluim that he brought to this world. Ha'idna be'ikvos de Mashiach, we're standing here. At this point, he's writing in the 19th century, the end of the 19th century. We're standing at the footsteps of Mashiach. Karov le'or hayom, kablinu lechova. He wants to then explain that the fact that we see that even though it's true, you look at the Gemara, that the initially Marav was only a Rishus, however, it became accepted by the Jewish people as obligatory. And so says Rav Tzadok, what explains that? What animates that decision by the Jewish people collectively to accept Marav as an obligation, not just as being optional? It says, Rav Tzadok, it must be because we have the opportunity and the ability now, as we march ever closer, as we continue to get closer and closer to that day, the end of time, Mashiach, that we have the ability to even now, within the choshech, even within the darkness, to pierce the veil and to have that type of experience and that type of encounter. And so now Rav Tzadok shifts and he wants to explain the different times that the Gemara has for when you can recite Kriya Shema in the morning and when you can recite the Amida in the morning as well. Tfilas HaShachar Gamkein Zmana Ad Chatzos Yoser Mizman Kriya Shema. He says that the time you have allotted to recite the Amida in the morning is until Chatzos, is until the Halachic midday, which is longer than the first 3 hours of the day, which is allotted for Kriya Shema. And why is it? What explains that? It says, Rav Tzadok, Kabbalas HaNochach Mimacho Shemayim Tzorach Yoser. They have the type of religious encounter that we're trying to achieve and to access when it comes to when we daven Shmoneh Esrei. Again, we said it's a different, more elevated, more intense, profound experience of that of Kriya Shema, like we talked about in previous episodes. Therefore, it requires preparation. Like we said before, you can't just jump into these things. It requires the hachano. What you put in is what you're going to get out of it. V'lakach yesh tashlum the tefillah. Rav Tzadok wants to go ahead now and explain another idiosyncrasy, another interesting, unique feature of tefillah, the fact that you have the idea of the tashlumin, that if you miss one tefillah, you're able to make it up for it at the next subsequent tefillah. And why is that? Because, again, of the challenge. We're saying that tefillah is supposed to be a profound religious experience, and not just something that we do mechanically and by rote as a robotic type of gesture. Rather, it's supposed to be a profound attempt to connect with the trace of transcendence of God in our lives, to have a sense of that nochach, to real presence, to bring, to open ourselves to that presence in our lives. And therefore, because of the challenge, that's why there's tashlumin in the next tefillah. And this is true even though afal pi she'aver hazman, even though the time has already passed. It's no longer the time for shacharis. You can't daven shacharis anymore. Yet, because it's about this attempt to have this profound religious experience, Chazal created that license to do so. Again, this is a great example of his general approach of profound spiritual principles informing legal principles. However, points out of Tzadok, there is a limit to this process of how we're able to rectify or continuing to grab onto this profound religious experience. Masha'in kim betfila shlishis, have me'uvas. That there's a certain point which we have to say, listen, I tried today, I didn't succeed, and I have to hang up my hands and say, I'm going to try tomorrow. That after the third time, it's no longer going to be effective. And where does this come from? He uses a concept in the Gemara that the betray zimni havei chazaka. This is again, it's a machlokas about something else, about whether or not, is in order to achieve some sort of legal presumption, does it take two events or does it take three? And here he's taking the idea from Rebbe that it's enough to have it happen twice. So you try shachar, it didn't work. You try micha, it didn't work. Then guess what? You say, all right, I tried today, it didn't work, but I'm going to try tomorrow. Suffice to count as a chazaka, the gabei osa de lomatzi mechavin la. To say that, okay, I didn't succeed today, and it was my attempt to again have this profound religious experience that didn't work out, and I'm going to try tomorrow. Like we said earlier, that the whole idea, the meditation that informs the going ahead, the ritual of Netilas Yadayim, is to go ahead and say, today's a new fresh day. So I'm going to bracket yesterday, and then I'm going to focus on the next day. So but this is another great example of, again, Rav Tzadok's approach, where he looks at the halacha, he looks at the legal details, and he says, if you open the hood, you'll see that there's these major, really important, potent spiritual principles that really are animating this entire system. And I will close that actually tonight, the Tess Elul, is the yard site of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. It's his 120th yard site. He died in the year 1900. So 120 years later, here we are in 2020. And so I wish for all of you that this Shabbos should be illuminated by the Zechus, by the merit of the Tzadok, Rav Tzadok HaKohen Rabinowitz, Zechus Yagin Eleinu. And with that, I wish you all an amazing Shabbos.